The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of Man, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whoever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall command his angels concerning you and guard you, and with their hand they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to a test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
We come once again to the great season of Lent, a time of purification and spiritual clarification. Blaise Pascal, the 17th century French Christian philosopher, wrote about diversions in the life of the Christian. He said that most of us spend much of our time distracting ourselves from the great questions of life, which of course have to do with God, eternal life, how I fit into the dance of life, and so forth. These questions are so overwhelming that we distract ourselves so that we don't have to deal with them. Lent is the time that we set diversions aside. We fast, we pray, and we give alms because they help us set aside our diversions so that we can look with brutal honesty at how we are doing in relationship to God. And in this we follow Jesus himself, who is led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. Every first Sunday of Lent we hear one of the versions of Jesus' temptations in the desert. And this is the church saying that it's very important for us to enter the same space as Jesus. Notice that Jesus goes into the desert because the Spirit leads him there. So this is a holy time, not a punishment. It's a holy time because we learn a lot about ourselves through what tempts us, in what tries and tests us, and how we respond to that. And we use that language for, a sports figure or a young politician, that he or she is untested. He or she has not been tried yet. So Jesus and we have to be tested. Now, most primitive cultures in the world have something like this for their young people. Some trial that will push them to the limits and force them to come to terms with who they really are, where they come to learn their responsibilities to the tribe, and they come to learn its wisdom about a well-lived life. Before Jesus launches into his public ministry, he'll be pushed by the Spirit to his limits. He will experience the deepest temptations that we all experience. These temptations try to draw us away from the true source of life and be distracted from our mission as Christians. And that mission is to be a conduit of the divine love to the world, to be a means by which God's love surges into his creation. You know, the saints couldn't be more different in their personalities and styles and backgrounds, but they always recognize that same mission in some form. But in order to live like this, we have to resist certain fundamental temptations. The temptations are always to gratify the ego so as to not fulfill the mission. Jesus was fasting in the desert for 40 days, and then he is tempted by Satan to turn the rocks around him into bread to satisfy his hunger. Have you ever noticed when you get really hungry, you can act easily out of your normal character? The blood sugar drops, we get cranky, and we lash out at others around us. The young people today call that being hangry. Even a good person, once starved, can get desperate and mean. So here is Jesus being tempted to give in to his hunger. But what's really going on here is that he's being tempted to base his life on the satisfaction of his bodily hungers. If any of us come to a way of thinking where we believe that life is about sensual pleasure, about satisfying our bodily urges in all things, then we will not be consistent conduits of God's love into the world, because we will be too busy being slaves to our hungers. Thomas Merton likened the bodily desires to little children. If we indulge little children all the time and never discipline them, they will begin to run the household. And the household will be very dysfunctional and good for no one. So with us, if we let our passions run us, we will put ourselves first in order to satiate our desires rather than let ourselves be used as a conduit of God's love to the world consistently. So we must be tested in this area as Jesus was. And Jesus rebuked this temptation by saying that human beings do not live on satisfying every bodily desire alone, but by doing the will of God. Think of the example of a young man who is preparing to be a father for the first time. He's probably a young guy, and he's led his life pretty much seeking his own pleasure. But he realizes now, as this child is coming into the world, that he's got to let go of his bachelor ways. He can't say anymore that sensual satisfaction is the center of his life. He's got to start putting these things in a lower level of his priorities in order to fulfill his new duties to this child, at least if he plans on being a good father. The next temptation is another very powerful distraction, to worldly power and glory. Remember the J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings stories, centered around the ring of power and how everyone was trying to get it. And Satan shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, which, by the way, Satan has control of, apparently, if he's offering them to Jesus. You know, the two great names for Lucifer are Satan and the devil, which come from the Greek. Ho Satanas and Ho Diabolos. And they mean, respectively, the accuser and the scatterer, or the divider. So what's being said here is that at the heart of all worldly power is accusation and division. Note the political rhetoric being bandied about today, not just in our own country, in pretty much every country. There's plenty of accusation and division being used. And you know, it's easier to control people when they're at each other's throats. When the love of power comes to be at the center of our lives, those are the tools we use to get and keep power. So here, Jesus is being tempted to use his authority as the Messiah to gain worldly power, to become a king as this world understands that term, who accuses and divides in order to conquer and dominate. But again, if he gives in to this, he would be unable to function as a conduit of divine grace, because he would be too busy to be on the lookout for those who would try to take his power. So he says to Satan that only God is to be worshipped and served. The final temptation has to do with the temple, and this is much more subtle. The first two temptations were pretty straightforward, but this third one is harder to see. It's the temptation to use God, to manipulate God, instead of being God's servant. So one who would throw himself off the temple in order to force God to save him is more in the mode of manipulating God rather than obeying God. This is the temptation to self-deification, which is to make ourselves the center of the universe and therefore live by our own rules. Such a person says, "My life revolves around me and my needs. I will not let God tell me what is right and wrong. I will claim that power, and I will tell him what is right and wrong. So in a sense, the whole concept of God will serve me." Jesus resists this temptation through those words, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." In other words, you don't test God, he tests you. You don't manipulate God. God is supposed to use you for his purposes. Jesus resists all these temptations, and now he's ready for mission. So he next goes to the River Jordan to be baptized by John in order to show us that baptism is all about ministry to the world, mission. But note, the end of the passage says that Satan departed from Jesus for a time. In other words, he'll be back. And we see that in the gospel frequently, especially at the crucifixion. Satan shows up. These same temptations affect all of us, and they will return to us throughout our lives, often at key moments. So be ready for them. Know that you will often be tested by them, just as Jesus was. But by cooperating with God's grace, we will not be pulled down by them.